Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we have the second part of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, the reluctant disciple. Pope Francis, in a 2006 retreat he preached to Spanish bishops, really dumped it on Nicodemus in a way I've never seen any other spiritual writer ever do, about what it meant that he was reluctant, how he would come to the Lord just at night because he was chicken to come to him during the day. How even when Jesus was being tried on trumped up charges, he asked a procedural question rather than defended an innocent man. It was only after Jesus had died that his conscience was pierced, and he came with great generosity, with 100 pounds of oil with which to anoint his cadaver. But when Jesus was alive, he didn't have the courage truly to follow him in the light. And in this conversation, we see what happens when he comes up to Jesus. Jesus tries to take him deeper, tries to take him into the light, says that he needs a new birth. And then Nicodemus, with all his intelligence, asks yesterday the silly question, can a man climb again into his mother's belly? Of course not. He wasn't capable of saying, "Jesus, explain to me how that will happen." And even yet today, when Nicodemus asks, "How can this happen?" when Jesus says, "You must be born from above, born by that Holy Spirit who blows wherever he wills," Nicodemus still isn't ready to approach with faith. So Jesus calls him out on it. "You're a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this. You don't understand the natural world. How are you going to understand the supernatural one?" When we get a breeze here, we don't really ask the question, did it come from Chicago or Philadelphia? We don't really care if it's going up to Boston or if it's going out to Long Island. We just accept the fact that there's a breeze. We don't have to ask all the why questions. We have to accept the fact. Same thing with the life of the Spirit. However God chooses to act, we need to respond with faith rather than to try to fit that supernatural reality, which is infinite, into our finite heads. So, Jesus describes the way we're going to be reborn from above. It's by his crucifixion, by his resurrection. That just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so Jesus would be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. The cross is not so much a sign of pain and suffering. It's a sign of the love that made even that much suffering bearable. And Jesus said we can't be his disciples unless we can love like that. Deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him each day. That's the Christian life. And the Holy Spirit blows us in this cruciform direction. And this is the path to the joy of the resurrection. Because we won't be joyful unless we're able to love in tandem with the Lord. We see this lived out by the first Christians whom we encounter in the Acts of the Apostles today. They were capable of living from above by the Holy Spirit through the grace of baptism and through a truly self-sacrificial life. It describes what a Christian should be and how a Christian should live in community. Community of believers, it said, was of one mind and one heart. They weren't broken down into liberals and conservatives, progressives, traditionalists. They weren't broken up by races according to their own ethnic churches. But they were truly Catholic. And they were acting on Jesus' prayer during the Last Supper that we might become one. As the Father and He are one. How they show that unity. They prayed together. They went up to the temple together. They shared meals together. Second, they were generous. They were sacrificing all that they had for the good of everyone else. Same way real loving family members always do. When a family member is suffering, we pitch in to help. The early Christians did that because they realized they were more related to each other by Jesus' blood received through baptism than they ever would have been through human blood. And they also were moved by the Holy Spirit to trust. Think about this. Would you sell your house? Would you sell everything you own and go and lay the proceeds at the feet of Cardinal Dolan to distribute to those who are most in need, any Catholic or anybody else throughout this region? And that's what they were doing, because they trusted in God working through the church He founded in such a way that they held nothing back. That's what the Holy Spirit allowed them to do. They were entering into Jesus' self-giving love on the cross in time. That's what the Holy Spirit wishes to do in us too. Provided that we put up the sails and allow that wind who blows where he will to blow us in this direction, rather than be stubborn, more like Nicodemus, and resist what the Lord wants to do. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, we recognize that it was here that the early Christians received the fruit of the tree of life, Jesus' body and blood given to us from the cross as he was lifted up. It's here that they learned from the inside out how to be perpetually reborn and to share Jesus' life. It's here that the Holy Spirit who comes down on top of the altar and on top of the priest to change bread and wine into God comes down upon us in a second epiclesis in order to make us, as we pray, one body, one spirit in Christ. And it's here that we learn how to do this in memory of Jesus, not just to give something, but to give all. Through the intercession of the first Christians, may we be as docile to the Holy Spirit so that we might truly unite ourselves with Jesus as the first Christians did. Praise be Jesus Christ.